G'day and welcome to the Farms Advice podcast, where we talk everything agribusiness. This week we hit a huge milestone for the podcast. We've hit 4,000 listeners within the month. So that's 1,000 a week. So thanks for everyone, friends, family, mates, for tuning in, and make sure for this episode that you share and tag your mates so that we can reach the 319,000 working in Aussie agriculture. We're 10% of the way there now with over 30,000 downloads. So continue tagging and sharing each episode as you enjoy and get something out of them also. But today on the show, we dive in and see and talk to Tonya Barr, who hails from Oregon originally. So hence the accent, you'll hear it throughout the episode. She went from sales and marketing to becoming a qualified chef through her love of food and knowing where it comes from. But it's no straight down the line route to becoming a chef. So let's dive in and go straight to the source and find out how it all happened. Today on the show, we have Tonya Barr. Tonya, fantastic to have you on the show today. Hopefully I got your name right. Welcome to the show.
Yes, you have. Thank you very much. My husband's Australian, and he, when we first met, he would get a bottle of Tawny Port and he'd put an A on the end. And that's how he remembered how to spell my name. Just thought I'd share that.
Lovely. So where's your accent actually from?
I'm from Oregon originally in the States. I've lived in Australia 26 years though.
Yeah, right. So fully planted and claim yourself as an Australian now?
Yes. Well, my children are dual, but you know, the accent just never goes away. It's softer though, I am told.
Yeah.
Until I say the word vehicle and then I'm in trouble, I guess.
Yeah, that's one that I get caught up on when talking to American. But anyway, Thank you very much for coming on to the show. Your position in agriculture is a bit of a unique one, how you've approached it and what you're doing currently. But before we get down to agribusiness, can you coach us through your stage of where you are now and how you actually got there?
Sure. I've been in the food industry 26 years. I always wanted to be a chef, and growing up in Oregon, you know, it's farm country. We always, you know, really paid attention to where our ingredients came from. My mom was an incredible cook, and I was too. And I started cooking at the age of 8, but going directly into the hospitality industry wasn't in my, wasn't in the cards really. So I went off to college and I got a job at a software company in San Francisco, and I was the international sales and marketing manager. And in doing so, I lived in San Francisco and I worked my way up through a software company as their sales and marketing manager. And what was incredible about that is it gave me the funds and the ability to travel the world and try different cuisines and meet, go to farmers markets all over the country and all over the world. So I had my territory was everywhere but the continental United States. So I spent a lot of time in Canada and Europe and Asia. And had I gone straight into chefing, I perhaps wouldn't have had that opportunity. So it gave me this great insight, which was tremendous. But then I met this guy in San Francisco, and he was from Australia. And I always swore I'd never date anybody from the East Coast in the States because it was so far away and inconvenient. And I actually used to date a police officer from Chicago, and that was an absolute disaster. So I said, nope, not doing that. And then I meet this guy from Australia, and we fall in love. And after a year of dating, one of us had to move. So I moved to Sydney. And it was there that I got a job at another software company based up in Newcastle. But I knew that I had fire in my belly when it came to cooking and Providence and farmers markets. And that's how I fed myself as a single woman, but also that's how I feed myself now with a family. So I came to Sydney, and 6 months working for this software company. It was a software, I was selling software package to motorcycle shops. So I knew where every Yamaha, Kawasaki, every motorcycle shop in New South Wales, and actually up in Queensland as well. And I sat down and I started making a list of everything I love to cook. And then I started getting reports of what was available in Australia. And I realized there was a gap in the sector of growing garlic. And at the time, most of the garlic was all imported from either Mexico or Gilroy, California, or China. And so I flew over to Gilroy, California, and I toured the farms there and got exclusivity for Australia. And I started a company called The Condiment Connoisseur. And so with that said, I was importing products from the States that were all preservative-free, natural. I had pickled garlic, I had sun-dried tomatoes, I had crushed garlic, and then I also started importing Napa Valley mustards. And then I needed a seafood sauce that was Australian. I wanted an American-style seafood sauce that had like mustard seeds and Worcestershire and tomato and no preservatives. And, you know, America had so many preservatives and so many products. And so I thought, I can do this myself. I make an excellent one. Every time I go to a seafood party, everyone's asking me to bring mine. So like a lot of artisans, I started out in my kitchen, you know, 200 gram containers, printing out labels, spraying adhesive. I mean, very old school. And I started making my own sauces, and I took it to the Sydney fish markets, and the owner of Black Wattle Deli gave me my break really into the food industry. And I walked up there with my sauces and he said, come back on Saturday. So I went back on Saturday with 50 little 200 gram containers and started tweaking my formula. And before I knew it, I had the Condiment Connoisseur. We were selling shelf stable products, fresh products. And then I needed a distributor and I didn't have a big network in Australia. So I decided to research myself and set up my own distribution company, as you do not, yeah. But I did it. And I grew. And before you know it, I was in David Jones, Kohl's, Nationwide, grew a team. But it became very, very much bigger than me. Yeah.
Definitely. That's amazing. So it all started from come back next Saturday.
Yeah, pretty much. And I did. And I did again and again and again. I was so grateful to have that little bit of real estate to also test the market in Australia, you know, because the palates are different, you know, coming from the States. You know, I'd go back and I go, okay, it needs to be a little less sweet. It needs to be a little bit this, a little bit more mustard seed. Yeah. And it gave me a great platform to do that.
Yeah, beautiful. So what is actually your skill set with food? Are you a trained chef at that time, or you just loved messing around with ingredients?
No, at that time I was a businesswoman. So my background was sales and marketing, and you know, I wrote a business plan and I executed that plan. And I knew that food, if I could do it in the software industry, I didn't have passion for software. I just kind of stumbled upon it. But food, I always had a passion for. So it was kind of like a marriage made in heaven. So I went in the food industry as an artisan and then a manufacturer and then an owner of a distribution company. And then I got bought out. And meanwhile, I had a couple babies too. And so when I got bought out, I took myself off to culinary school and got my qualifications as a chef. And it was so funny because when I did that, I called my mom and I said, okay, here's the thing. I'm selling the Condiment Connoisseur as much as I love it. And I'm going to go off and become a chef. And she's like, you need to do that. You definitely need to do that. She didn't say that when I was 18, mind you, but yeah. She did say it. By then, I think I'd proved to her it was my calling.
Oh, good on her for egging you on and getting you around. I suppose like that's a bit of a backflip how people in hospitality start their own products. They become the chef first.
Totally. And I had a few different motivations. One, I was also, you know, doing some catering and that sort of thing. And I knew I was a really good cook, but I also had a bit of imposter syndrome where I felt like I needed some formal qualifications because a lot of my mates that were chefs, you know, they've worked their way up through restaurants or they've, you know, gone to TAFE and they've done their apprenticeship and all of those things. And I hadn't done any of that. And so for me to take myself off to TAFE in Le Cordon Bleu as a mature age student, you know, with kids and coming from the food industry, it gave me a whole different perspective, really. And it was awesome. I mean, when those doors would shut, I would leave my work and my family life behind. And I felt like I had the the luxury of this education, the pool of talent that Le Cordon Bleu has is just extraordinary. So I found it not only, you know, a bit not indulgent, but it, when I hold my head up high now, you know, when I finished that and I went and did all my industry placement. And now when I'm cooking with, you know, I don't have imposter syndrome anymore. I've solved that one.
Yeah. Well, when, when people go to get extra education, you're probably looking to find your focus, and you already had your focus and you narrowed in. So when I went to uni, I was sort of there to get directed into what I would like or what I don't. So agribusiness marketing is my sort of thing that I found through that. And after, as a mature age student, you sort of, I love this. So I'm going to collect my skills together and go into it. And that's how you went all about it.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I think there's something to be said for that, because you don't want to waste your time. You know, you don't, you're there to learn. And so you open your mind and you take it all in. And I think that's, I think it's an important thing. And that's what I did. So on the back of that, I was doing food tours for, you know, visiting journalists and farmers market tours. I mean, like I said earlier, I started out in San Francisco going to the farmers markets there. And in Oregon growing up, we just go to the farms, you know, we just go to the potato farmer and just get potatoes. It wasn't that big of a deal. But in California, it had a little bit more structure to it. So when I moved here and Piermont Growers Market opened up, I just felt like I was home, you know. I like to be able to talk to the farmers and the producers and make educated decisions for myself based on, you know, that knowledge I gained from them, but also supporting direct. That's always been ingrained in me. So that's what I did.
Yeah. So a beautiful start to your career, and I probably made you into what you're doing today with the different parts and bringing it all in.
Oh, totally. They're all stepping stones, aren't they? And you don't know how, what turns and swings and roundabouts your career is going to take. And if you would have asked me, you know, when I was in San Francisco in my corner office in suits, would I be, you know, in Australia, you know, doing what I'm doing now, I probably would have said no. But it is interesting, the journey that we take. And so on the back of all of that, I mean, doing food tours, I started doing my master's of gastronomic tourism. And I was doing it through Southern Cross Uni and in Le Cordon Bleu. And through that program, I met my business partner, Lucy Allen. When I sold the business, I continued to work with other producers because I could understand from a consultant point of view. I have been a food consultant for 19 years. So I know what's involved to get a product from concept to market, and I know the pitfalls and how to navigate it. So I kind of set myself on a mission to work with other primary producers and artisans that wanted to value add and create another income stream, and research it and do it properly. So that's something that's always, I've been doing for a very long time. And then it was about 11 years ago that Straight to the Source, my tagline with Tonya Bar Food Consulting was always taking you straight to the source. So when I sat down and thought, how could we create a professional development company to make it easy for chefs to leave their kitchens and give them an opportunity to go to the regions and have an authentic experience. They're going to have to either, it's going to cost money. They're going to have to leave their, you know, take time, do it on their day off. But I knew the people I spoke to and myself, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be able to go out onto the oyster leases or go to a paddock and understand what's involved in farming and raising, you know, and processing lamb and whatever it may be. So 11 years ago, I wrote a business plan for Straight to the Source. And we basically started 10 years ago and just pioneered that space.
Yeah. And that 10 years is quite broad, and the different technologies and everything that's come into play at the end of it. How much has that changed from your initial business plan to adapting to this current year?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because COVID certainly hasn't helped, because we were 99.9% travel. So, Yes. Yeah, so when Straight to the Source, about a year and a half old, and I, like I said, I was doing my master's of gastronomic tourism through Southern Cross Uni and Le Cordon Bleu, and I met this amazing woman online, and we had similar values and ethos, and we cared about regenerative farming, we cared about Providence, and we were sharing papers, and I'm like, who is this woman? And so we had lunch one day, and I realized she was Lucy Allen, and Lucy Allen has been an award-winning restaurateur, and her and Luke Mignon were business partners for, I don't know, 16 years or something. And they've owned three restaurants in their own right. And she too was doing this program. And I knew that from a Straight to the Source point of view, whether it be technology or additional skill sets, that in order to grow, you really do need to surround yourself with amazing people, people that have skills that you don't have, and people that pull you up and you pull each other up. So so we met for lunch, and then I was doing the Junior Foodie Market tour that I do every year, and she booked her kids in. And then I knew we went to lunch again, and I'm like, would you please come work with me on Straight to the Source? Because we're the only ones doing this, but we've got to continue to do it really well. And I wooed her. I gave her as much red wine as I could. I'm joking, but I did give her a little bit. And anyway, 8.5 years later, we've been business partners, and we've just gone from strength to strength. So I'm very proud of where Straight to the Source is today. But with COVID, it definitely changed the landscape for us.
Yeah, I could imagine how valuable it is to find someone that complements what you do and also what your business and your direction. But let's go through Straight to the Source and what it offers. So you're taking the food service industry and introducing them to where those primary producers of where their products come from?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So up until last year with COVID, we work with RDAs, councils, we work with primary producers. There's many different ways that we make our tours happen. We also work with hospitality venues and organizations. So our main objective in doing that is to obviously inspire and educate. Yep. And also raise awareness for the regions. So up until COVID last year, we go all over the country, and we go to remote places, and our tours are very much designed from industry out, if that makes sense. We're not a tourism company per se, but we know that our specific Straight to the Source tours do raise awareness for regions. We've seen it happen. People are following the chefs that come on our tours, and they're watching what they're doing, and they're watching the produce that is coming from that particular area. But and we also connect the chefs with each other, which is another very valuable point. And you asked me earlier, the original business plan, and I still have it, it's only one page long. It's evolved since then, I will say, but was very much about connecting to encouraging chefs to really dive deep into how their ingredients that come in their kitchen are produced so that they understand the value proposition. Because that's... you know, that gets lost sometimes. But also what morphed and what we realized is that chefs like to hang, to be with each other. They like to have a bit of time off. They like to be looked after. So we make sure that our tours are just like all encompassing, and they're like this holistic amazingness that keeps chefs wanting to come back again and again and again, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose it comes back to what you said before, keeping that fire in the belly. Of them wanting to do these hours in the kitchen out the back or in the front house, it's pretty important. But also it's really important that we as farmers that are value adding can also connect with that side of the industry, when normally we probably just look to connect with consumers.
Yeah, exactly. So on the back of what happened last year with our travel, Straight to the Source, we decided to take a deep breath and really look at what Straight to the Source means. What does it mean to the producers that we've worked with? And what does it mean to the industry that we're a part of? And we unpacked it. We rebranded. We you know, took down our beautiful website. We created a whole new website. We decided to create this directory for producers. It's an, you know, to come on board so that we can work with them all year. It's another way of us connecting without physically going, you know, on a plane or a bus or a car, what have you. Yep. And so, you know, we had to be really innovative. But the other thing it taught us is we took all of our skills, all that consulting I've been doing, we're now, that's all under Straight to the Source. Lucy's expertise in regional restaurants and front of house and all of that, you know, is all under Straight to the Source. So really, if you're a chef looking for an innovative ingredient, and we're not selling anything, you know, we're selling our services, but we're not selling that commodity. So they come to us as industry advisors and leaders and thought leaders to, you know, to advise them or to keep them abreast of what's coming up through trends and what have you. So it's actually really exciting for Straight to the Source that we can offer all these services under one umbrella now.
Yeah, so you can offer a lot more to both primary producers and also the food service industry. So for primary producers, which is majority of the listeners on this podcast, what sort of producers are you working with currently or have you worked with previously?
Yeah. It's a full gamut, really. I'm working with, I'm sure she wouldn't mind me mentioning it. Outback Lamb, for example, you know, Fiona at Outback Lamb, a couple of years ago started making lamb sausage rolls and using local bakery and absolutely beautiful, very Moroccan inspired flavors. And she wanted to take them into the retail market nationally. And so, you know, we've been working very closely with her and bringing in a master pastry chef like Christopher Tay and finding her, you know, bakery and the distribution model and strategy and packaging. And so we've been right there with her, boots and all, to bring this to light. And we're very close. Another farmer, Sue from Singing Magpie down in Monash, South Australia, you know, she started, you know, moved from Melbourne to her family farm, and Monash is 100 years old this year, and taking the commodity that was, you know, they grow pecans and quince and creating value-added products, and their figs that they grow white and black figs and chocolate and robing them. And so we've worked closely in the early days to help her get that brand started and get it going. And we continue to support. In fact, she was the first one to sign up to our directory. She said, can I please be the, so anyway, yeah. So, I mean, that's just a couple of examples, but we've worked with many producers. We're working in, you know, green garlic and, you know, aquaculture. And I mean, it's not just Lucy and I, we do have a team, and we also work a lot in the science space. We're releasing, you know, some workshops in that space to help producers in terms of food safety and pH and also chefs that are creating products. So, we've got, we're like a little, you know what we get told a lot? It's funny. It's like, who needs Google when you've got Straight to the Source? Laugh and go, yeah, that's right.
So when the sort of primary producer sort of comes to you and they have a different product than you've worked with before, but you can sort of have that template, can't you? Use that with them to get them up and running, or how does it work for a new person looking to value add?
So in our case, if a producer is looking to, we would sit down and just have a very, you know, long in-depth conversation to understand what their objectives are and what they want to create. And then we would create a strategy around their specific needs. There really isn't a template. I mean, if you take an ambient product, you take a frozen product and you take a fresh product, yes, there's a certain, you know, funnel they go in. But in terms of if it's jams, honeys, like in Fiona's case, it's a frozen sausage roll. You know, you've got to take them case by case. So when producers are like on our directory, it's an annual fee of like $3.99 a year. And what we do with that is we have a consultation. We keep all producers front of mind. Any producer that's under our umbrella obviously meets a criteria as well.
Yep.
But once they're on there, we, you know, we write articles, we are on advisory boards, we're on panels, we are at the food shows, we're, you know, so we keep them front of mind. And we also look at where there's gaps. You know, we might work with a primary producer that's, you know, I don't know, has eggs. And then we see that there's a particular sauce or this, you know, stadium needs a lot of eggs for a particular purpose or an event. So we kind of step in. Our model isn't a cookie cutter model. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And I suppose that's how agriculture works as well. It's not all the same thing running the same way. So you've got to sort of adapt to how that works. What's pretty cool is how, like you said, Fiona's working with pastry chefs. I think for a sheep producer to be able to work with a pastry chef and see how her products come to life and how that all works is a pretty amazing thing as a sheep farmer.
Yeah, well, you should have a chat to her.
She's actually been on the podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah. So did she talk about it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. And it's a matter of connecting. I mean, straight to the source, we're really... I mean, we're like conduits, you know, we have experience and expertise in our own right, which proves to be very useful, but also we can connect different aspects of the industry with each other. And I think that's a unique proposition that we bring. And although technology has advanced so much and we are in that space as well, nothing replaces the human connection in our opinion anyway.
Yeah, totally. And for like the competition within food service and getting some shelf space in the bigger grocers, how do you tackle that one? Or is it not too much of a worry with these independent sort of food products like a primary producer? How does Straight to the Source get around that or even educate?
Right. Well, that's always an interesting one because it isn't, you know, some producers we work with will eventually go to a distributor. Yep. So, I mean, we've got a whole slew of distributors we work with across the country. And sometimes that's the best way to go. You know, selling direct isn't everything for everyone. But then it can be successful as well. So I guess it really does depend. The one thing that we're mindful of is you want to make educated decisions, don't you? And if you're going into something and you're investing in it and it's a whole new product and a whole new arena that you're not used to, I'm of the mind, do it cautiously and do it as cleverly as possible. So we would advise and guide and bring in other people to just make sure we're all on the same page and that the end of the game is met, you know?
So you can bring it to fruition at the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like I mentioned before, you know, when it comes to food safety and science, I mean, Straight to the Source, for example, we've launched this Chef Box program. Yeah. And it's a national program. It's a professional program. We put a lot of work in behind the scenes. And we're kind of like not Tinder for chefs and producers, but we have our industry you know, pool of people, and we talk to them, and they're bakers and they're butchers and they're, you know, procurement officers and they're chefs and they're fine dining cafes, what have you, large catering companies. We find out what they're looking for and what excites them. And then we look at our pool of producers and go, okay, what products do you have and what's in the pipeline? What isn't released yet? You know, what do you have that you've had for 5 years and nobody's buying? And why is that? You know, we take a real deep dive into it. And then we've created the Chef Box program. So, you know, chefs are now getting these innovative little parcels to their door, and they have to give feedback, though. We manage them quite closely. If they don't get feedback, they get booted off our program, never to come back. But it's so far, it's been working incredibly well. So we're very excited about that. And so every producer on our platform is invited to participate. And so, I mean, I think from a Straight to the Source point of view, what we are more than anything is we are on the forefront. Like, we're always looking at how we can lessen that connection. Or that, you know, that disconnection, sorry, lessen the disconnection between the farmer and producer and the person eating, serving, buying, you know, the the ingredient.
That's very cool. So chefs and primary producers can swipe right on whoever they want to match up with and fill that sort of gap of that food.
Well, straight. Yeah. I mean, straight. We organize it. We curate the whole thing and we make it happen and we manage it. And yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. And then the other thing that we've just launched is it's called In the Bag. It's a Christmas In the Bag. So what we did is all the producers on our platform will be included. We've done a QR code to them and we're going to have recipes and links to their promotions and what have you. And we've created this bespoke, there's 20 producers represented across the country and the people are pre-ordering it. And then everything's being made bespoke right at the as fresh as possible. Yep. So we've worked with a black garlic grower and a salami maker. We brought them together. We've worked with, you know, Singing Magpie down in, like I said, Monash, you know, to create a bespoke blend of dried fruit. We've really put a lot of thought into this from Western Australia. We tried to get as many of the states involved, and then we're giving some of the proceeds to the Drought Angels who do amazing work. And so it's a real feel-good project. If we were traveling all the time, there's no way we would have been able to do this. But the fact that we have had a little bit of time to be able to put this hamper together, it's really meant a lot to us. And I think it means a lot to the producers that are involved. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a great idea. And also those on the receiving end get a little bit of a taste of what's happening and what's new within.
Yeah.
Primary producers world and what they're producing. Australia produces some pretty good food, so it's pretty good to have it rock up on your doorstep.
Well, exactly. I mean, we've got Australian pork, we've got salami from Salumi Australia, we've got Pinos Dolce Vita. I mean, like I said, we've got Riverina, we've got all these regions, you know, mentioned in this hamper. So I think we've done a great job, you know, being able to highlight different regions and a diversity in products within this hamper.
Absolutely. A never-ending job as it keeps going on and on, though. But for straight to the source, as a primary producer looking to see how their product would fit in the market, how can they get in touch or fill in a form with Straight to the Source?
We're not that hard to find, hopefully. So, you know, we have a website, straighttothesource.com.au, and we have a form there you can fill in, and it'll come straight to Lucy and I and our team. And then we're also on Instagram under Straight to the Source, and we're on LinkedIn, and we're on Facebook, and we're on Twitter as well. So, those are basically the main ways to get in contact with us. And we have case studies and we have, you know, plenty of farmers, other farmers can talk to. And, you know, we're very passionate and dedicated and we live, eat and breathe this every single day. And our whole ethos and value system is about, you know, transparency and supporting and inclusiveness and helping, you know, producers and chefs make educated decisions and actually understand the value of what goes into our food.
Which is pretty important.
It's incredibly important. And something that you may want to put in earlier in this podcast that I didn't mention, but I'm the group executive chef for The Orchard. And that's a whole line of, there's two of them and there's one more being built. It's early learning centers. Yeah. So we have chickens and we have an orchard and I write the menus and source from every single producer and farmer. And it's very important that the kitchen teams, I have three chefs in one, two in the other. We feed 160 kids in one and 90 in the other. And they're educating the kids on how these ingredients come to be on their plate. So, and I have farmers come in all the time and talk to them. And, you know, I don't know if you can weave that in, but I do think educating children so that they don't think it just comes from the supermarket and it's there year round, you know, it's really important.
Yeah, I think 100% agree with that as well. You got a bit of a vertical system then. So from early adoption and learning for the younger ones so they can see where our food comes from and also primary producers see where their food goes.
Well, with the Royal Agricultural Society, the Sydney Fine Food Show is extraordinary. It's been going for many, many years and I've been a judge for them. In fact, I was acting chair of judges not last year because it was canceled, the year before. And that's an opportunity for if there are any producers out there that have created a product and, you know, they want to put it in and have it judged. I think that's great. I forget how much it is. I think it's like $50 or what have you, but you send in your chutney or your jam or what have you, your product, and then you get professional. There's four judges and an associate judge, and you get professional feedback. And it's a wonderful way to really gauge where your product is in the marketplace. And then if you're a primary producer, the Delicious Produce Awards are pretty amazing. And Lucy's been the project manager for that for 11 years. So between the condiments and specialty side and the primary production, we like to encourage everyone to enter those awards, if you know, as much as possible. It's good.
Yeah, great. And it's a good way to benchmark for primary producers to see if they need to be changing their product or if they're coming out with the goods.
And it's all done blind. So it's not a packaging exercise. It's not going to help you with your packaging, but will help you with what's inside, which is really important.
What matters, essentially. For yourself, we're straight to the source. What's the next 5-10 years look like for yourself and the team there, you and Lucy?
Oh, wow. Well, our team will be probably even bigger. And more broad in its services. I would like to think that we continue to just grow our networks, and continue to do the work we're doing. I mean, we're incredibly proud of the work that we've done, and I just would like to see it amplified even more so. So, I mean, with the when restrictions lift, you know, getting back on the road and getting chefs out camping in paddocks and out actually, having a hands-on experience, we will continue to go that way. And in addition, you know, growing our directory and growing our services, we see straight to the source as really amplifying everything we're doing now. I mean, our offering with, professional development, we're still very passionate about that and raising regional awareness. So that will continue to charge forward, and also growing our producer directory and the producers we work with. We will continue down that road as well. And then with the regions, you know, working with regions. So I see us just doing more of what we're doing, and as thought leaders and industry leaders, just continuing the work we're doing, because we absolutely love it. We believe in it, and we are making a difference. So all that kind of feels pretty good.
I bet it does. You're an important link in between connecting farmers, primary producers to the food industry, but also you're educating them how they can get their products to the market, which is a very cool thing, which I love the value adding side. And also it is another financial stream that farmers can access once successfully launching their products onto, like, in front of consumers, which is very cool to see your products out there in the flesh. Most farmers actually just see their product leave the farm gate and never see or hear of it again, of where it ended up. So it's very cool that we can see what these products are and where they're going.
Oh, absolutely. And it is an ever-evolving, it's not just, in Fiona's case, she's got her sausage rolls. You can take those in lots of different flavor profiles. I mean, it's stepping stones, like we talked about earlier, and it's nice to be on the forefront of that. And there's a hell of a lot of innovation going on too. It's not stagnant. It's forever changing, and the landscape is changing, and with climate and, our farming principles and practices and all of that is changing. And a byproduct of that sometimes is some incredible innovation.
Yeah, definitely. It's very wholesome sort of work what you're doing. And I applaud you on the effort you've done over the last 10, 11 years of the industry straight to the source, but also your backing and your background. It's great to have you across in Australia. So thanks to your husband.
Thank you. I'm really, I love living in Australia. And thank you for having me.
So before we go, a question we ask everyone: who is someone you'd love to hear on the Farms Advice podcast and why?
So I actually did give that some thought, and I really think it's somebody from the councils or the RDAs, unless you're thinking of somebody. Because what I've learned with that is we've worked with a lot of them, and especially the ones in the south of Sturtlow. Well, I don't want to say where, but they've been incredibly supportive and really helped us get a front foot 10 years ago. But it's really fascinating how they all have the same sort of agenda to raise awareness for the regions, but how they go about it is very different. Yeah. And I would like to understand how that works.
So would I now that you brought it to life. Perfect.
You know, like,
that's a great introduction. Sorry. I'll have to get in touch with a few councils and we'll talk after the show, I'm sure. But for anyone that wants to get in touch with Straight From The Source or yourself and your expertise, how can they? Social media handle and website, please.
Yeah, so straighttothesource.com.au, and we're Straight To The Source on Instagram. I'm Tanya Barr, got Lucy Allen, and we're also on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn under our own name and Straight To The Source.
Beautiful. Well, you'll find all the information in the show notes after the show or before the show, whenever you want to access them. So, Tanya, thank you very much for coming on the FarmsWise podcast. Good to hear from you, and we'll talk very soon, I bet.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to episode 66 with myself, Jack Rezal, the host. Also, a big thank you to Tanya for coming onto the show and sharing with us her role in Australian agriculture. A very important role, nonetheless, it is by showcasing our produce to those working in the food service industry every day, every week, every year. It is a relentless job, but it is really good that she can showcase how primary producers are making the food, the raw commodity, and bringing it into the food service world. So I hope you're able to take something away from this episode and think if it is something for you that you can implement into your own enterprise to build up or bolster yourself. If not, no worries. Share it with a mate that might find it useful to help us grow Australian primary producers. So make sure if you love this episode, leave a comment on our Instagram page or with an Apple podcast review. 5 stars would be pretty handy too. But until then, next Tuesday, keep on farming. Thanks for listening right to the end of this one, farmers. If you want to know what's going on with Farmers Advice and what we're up to and the industry updates, make sure you sign up to our Farmers Mailbag newsletter. You'll be able to sign up at farmsvice.com.au. See you next week.